I'm Vermont Edition producer Sam Gail Rosen. This podcast has been edited for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Last week, the 1,800-member Vermont Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals, the union representing nurses at UVM Medical Center, went on a two-day strike. They said this was a necessary step after months of contract negotiations had failed to lead to a compromise both sides could get behind. The nurses are back at work now, but agreement remains elusive. Today on Vermont Edition, we're going to look at what's at stake for each side, plus some of the ramifications of the strike, and how each side thinks they might find common ground moving forward. In the second half of this segment, we'll be talking with Lori Onchman, president of the Vermont Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals, the Nurses Union. But first, we're going to spend some time on the hospital administration's perspective. We did offer the two sides the chance to be on together, but they thought the negotiations would be better served by going through the normal channels, which we respect. So let's first turn to Eileen Whalen, President and Chief Operating Officer for the University of Vermont Medical Center. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
I'd like to talk finances, but not the salary negotiations first. I'd like to get a better handle on the strike and what that actually cost the hospital. Is there a dollar figure you can give us?
We have an estimate at this point in time, but until all of the travel arrangements and all those expenses are in, we won't have a complete number, but we know it'll be close over $3 million.
And that's $3 million over and above whatever the normal operating expenses of the hospital would have
been. Yes, this was unbudgeted, so it will be above the operating expenses, yes.
Does the hospital have strike insurance?
No, there is no strike insurance at our facility. This is the first time the facility has ever undergone such a work action. So, no, it's not. And I think it's been really impressive how VPR and many of the news outlets have really covered the numbers related to this. I was kind of hoping we could talk a little bit about the impact to each and every one of us at the medical center of what this strike has meant.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to get to that. But I also, you know, there are a lot of swirling numbers and a lot of questions that people have and a lot of either misguided information or misinformation that's out there. So I want to have some of the numbers first. And then, you know, absolutely, I think the most important part here is to talk about the impact on everyone, patients, the hospital, the nurses. I mean, there are a lot of real people who are involved in this, and,
yes.
and I'm definitely aware of that. So in terms of the $3 million that this approximately will cost the hospital, where does that money then come from?
So we are a nonprofit organization, and any revenue that we make goes right back into our organization. So we put a budget together every single year, and every single year we have to look at expense reduction to manage to live within that budget. So that's where the $3 million will come from, is our current expense reduction in the organization.
Does that mean layoffs?
That is not my intent, no.
So does having $3 million of unbudgeted funds make negotiations harder?
It doesn't make it harder. What we're trying to do is really be fair and to really listen to our nurses. That's really the key to all of this. So I'm trying not to let the $3 million be of concern and really get to the value proposition, because I really do believe this is about being valued. I think when people don't feel valued, money or wages become a proxy. So this is really about how our nurses are feeling right now, and that's what I'm listening to.
Okay, so how do you get there? Because, you know, I can also hear the voice in the back of my head saying, you know how you value me? Pay me what I'm worth.
Sure. And that is what I refer to as, I think, the proxy. And for whatever reason, I'm hearing clearly from our nurses that they do not feel over for many, many years that they have been valued and that they've been marginalized and they've been disrespected. And those are the words that I am listening to. And while I cannot correct the history, and I do believe that some of this is a national phenomena as well, as a leader of the organization, I can own this and I can make a difference going forward. And that's really the crux of my work, is to listen and really understand how this has happened and how we can really work together to change that feeling, because that's a tough one.
So give me some examples of how you think you could do that.
Well, I think really it's just about listening and really valuing nurses and giving them a voice. And we have developed lots of opportunities, but I think it's really about drawing those nurses in to really listen to their voice and valuing their role in providing best practice at the bedside. We work in teams, and so they should have a very strong voice in how that practice is rendered on their floors or in the operating room, the emergency department. I'm really concerned about my employees right now, and as an extension, really our community. As the largest employer in the community, I have seen personally the impact of this strike on each and every one of the faces of my employees. There is profound sadness at the medical center right now. And that's something that we have to own, we have to address, we have to allow people to talk through that sadness, because a strike is a really serious thing. A strike, if I think about personally and professionally, things in my life that have made a significant difference, this strike is that. It has made a difference in the hearts and minds of every one of my employees. And that's, I think, what's really important. I think that by extension, I've seen what it's done to the families in this community, and that's of great concern to me. Words are corrosive, and until we acknowledge the sadness and the pain we're all feeling individually and collectively, we'll not be able to begin the restoration and healing, and that needs to start now.
So there have been things that have already been agreed upon in these negotiations. I understand that one of them is to pay outpatient nurses the same as inpatient nurses. Charge nurses have in the past been having assignments at patients' bedsides. And so this means that a charge nurse wouldn't be able to just take command in an emergency situation without basically abandoning a patient. And so that will be changed. The per diem nurses who are per diem hired on a day-to-day basis, their pay structure is likely to be improved, which would mean perhaps that the hospital would rely less on traveling nurses. Is that all in there now that
those
that's
are
been
all
agreed
correct
upon?
Agreements? And the charge nurse is a really important thing, because the charge nurse is responsible really for the operational organization of the unit during that day to make sure that patient assignments are matched with the most appropriate, highly professional nurse. Also to make sure they get lunch breaks and get coffee breaks and things like that to be able to get away from their patient and really manage that process. So we were inconsistent as it relates to charge nurses. Some of the units had charge nurses that did not have patients' assignments. Others did. So we very strongly support that request and are think it's the absolute right thing to do for our patients and families and for our nurses.
So there have been some points of agreement that have been reached in these negotiations.
There have been many, many, many points of agreement. And I think both Lori will acknowledge that as well, because, you know, there's been great ideas that have come together at the table. And I'm quite certain that if we continue to really find that common ground, we will get to an agreement. I'm no doubt.
And a lot of the negotiations and problems and questions from the nurses union have been around staffing issues. And they say that staffing and salary go hand in hand. But some of the staffing questions have been addressed. And yet that salary one does seem to be a pretty big sticking point. I think if my numbers are correct, the nurses union is still asking for a 23% salary increase stepped up over 3 years. And the hospital's position has been we could get to 13 or 14%. Bethany wrote in to say people need to understand that the nurses at UVM Medical Center have gone several contract negotiations without a raise, 3 years per contract. In the past, the hospital has said the economy is bad, we can't afford it, and the nurses conceded. The hospital has been advertising their financial stability recently with $700 million in the bank. So now the hospital can afford it. Eileen Whelan, is the hospital administration's argument here or inability to meet that demand because you say you can't afford it? Or is it a more nuanced argument than that, that resource allocation kind of argument?
This is not about affordability. It's about realistic. And the impact.
So the hospital could afford it.
This is about being, we believe that the 23% is unrealistic. And the reason being the impact of 8,000 employees and 1,800 nurses. The impact of a 23% raise for one group in the organization will have significant impact on the rest of the organization. So I think it's really important that I look at all my employees and look at what's fair for all of my employees. The other thing is,
but if the nurses say, but we're not at a standard, we're not even at the same pay scale of our peers across the lake in Plattsburgh, where the cost of living may be lower, you know, they could say, sure, in context, maybe everybody should be raised, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be just because other people also don't make enough money.
So this is probably the biggest bone of contention between our nurses and the hospital, and that truly is about what our market data shows. And so both organizations have different market data. We use various different sources, and we have opened that up for both for the union to look at that data and really understand how we're benchmarking. I think really what's important here is for all of us to think about what's our intention. What do we really want? And at the medical center, it's all about providing a healing environment for our patients, families, and the community. All of us are passionate about that, and I think what the community right now is seeing some of that passion. We really want to provide that highest level of care, and it's really an honor to take care of another human being when people come to us at their most vulnerable time. So that, I think, is a lot of what the community is seeing is that incredible passion. I am reminded right now, as I mentioned earlier, the profound impact this strike has had on all of us at the hospital and in the community. I believe, in a quote from the Dalai Lama, that if you're a compassionate person, you have a responsibility to remain compassionate regardless of the behavior around us. And I believe anger is a reaction or a manifestation of fear and sadness. And anger protects us from vulnerability. And this is why we at the medical center really are focusing on listening. Listening to and talking about that anger, because if we don't really understand the impact of that anger, an impact of the sadness, we won't be able to come together. And I do believe that that's something that each one of my employees is asking for right now. And what we're really focused on is really trying to listen. And that's such an important piece.
I hear what you're saying on this, and I want to push you just, you know, to because we're not sitting with two sides at the table at once, to push this by saying, right, but there's a very clear demand on the table. So doesn't listening mean to hear what the nurses are saying, which is we need to make more money. Here is what we think would get us to the right point. You know, you can sort of listen to the anger all you want, but if the demand is this is how much money we need to be able to feel whole, then saying I'm listening to the other things but not going to meet that demand might seem patronizing.
That's really not the intent in any way, and I want to be very clear about that. We value our nurses. We value every one of our employees, and one of the reasons that we provide a very good wage for each of our employees, plus the 30% benefits on top of it, we believe that we also have a huge commitment to this community as the largest employer. So it is not about being patronizing at all, and I think what I mentioned earlier is this is a value proposition. When you don't feel valued, wages become the all-important conversation. So that's what I'm really focusing on, is listening to what they have said about not feeling respected or valued. And it's really up to all of us at the medical center, all of our colleague to colleague, leadership to leadership, to redirect our focus on mending and building these relationships, because that's what's going to be important for us going forward.
But you have said very clearly you think a 23% increase is unrealistic. It doesn't sound like you feel like there's any ability to get there. So where do you go from here now? What happens next in the negotiations that I think are set to happen next week?
We do have negotiations set next week, and I'm very excited, as is all the teams, I think, of getting back together. I think we have to be creative, because at 23% in this community, and this given the responsibilities the medical center has, is unrealistic.
You know, once there is a strike, as you said, it can be profoundly sad and disturbing for everyone. And I'm wondering, you know, obviously, at least from what we're hearing, the two sides are not close to an agreement yet, at least not publicly. But is everything really bitter, or are the conversations productive? Is that love and appreciation still felt even as these negotiations happen?
So I wouldn't characterize it as bitter at all. It is really profound sadness. We are a family, albeit a large family, but people in my organization have worked together for 30 years. They've been on the soccer fields together. We've raised each other's children together. That's really important. So what we need to do, like in any opportunity with any family riff is to bring the group back together. So I wouldn't characterize it as bitterness. I think each and every one of us respect our nurses' rights to strike. That was absolutely part of who they are and who they wanted to be. But what we really want to do is get to that point of understanding how we've gotten here. How did we get to this point? And what do we need to do collectively to really find our way forward? You know, I've a very good friend and colleague recently said to me, shared with me, the symbol for crisis in Chinese is the same as the symbol for opportunity. And that's where I am now. That's what I'm reacting to, is the opportunity, albeit what it is, what it brings to us at the medical center and for this community. There's really no picking sides. There's no winners in this. This is about people coming together with really strong emotion and talking through that emotion and finding our way.
That's Eileen Whalen, President and Chief Operating Officer at the University of Vermont Medical Center. Thank you very much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Today, we're looking at the negotiations over contract and labor issues for nurses at UVM Medical Center. We just spoke with the president and COO, Eileen Whalen, who represents the administrative side of these negotiations. And now we're going to hear from a representative of the Nurses Union. Lori Onchman is president of the Vermont Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals. Lori, thank you for coming in today. I know it's a busy time.
It's my pleasure, Jane.
So you're also a staff nurse in the surgical and intensive unit at the medical center. How long have you been working?
I have been at this facility for 40 years.
40 years?
40 years. Well, just shy of 3 weeks of 40 years.
So if I could personalize these negotiations for a moment, why has it come to this point where the nurses have said we need to strike, where you say the salaries are so depressed that we need a 23% increase? You know, for you, what does that feel like?
It's been a great journey. Let me first say, first and foremost, having been able to have the honor and the privilege to serve my community for this long at this institution, I've been very proud of the work that I've been able to bring to this hospital and proud of the community that, and we are a community, we are a family within University of Vermont Medical Center. And I'm very proud to have been able to share a good portion of that with a third of my colleagues who have the same tenure as I do. So what does this strike mean to me through the process of being part of this organization for 40 years? 40 years ago in 1976, when I first started there, there was no union. I will say, and I'll just give you a brief history if you would like. The union that was voted in 2002 was the fifth attempt to organize the nurses. From at the point of the organization becoming the Vermont Federation of Nurses and Healthcare Professionals, great strides have been made collaboratively through contract negotiations, through collaboration with the union and with the hospital, a process that is still in effect. You know, we're in contract negotiations now. And when you look at what we're trying to achieve, if you look at both sides independently, you'd say, well, gee, you're both after the same thing. You're both trying to achieve the same thing, quality care for our patients, the ability to recognize and respect our nurses, and being proud and being valued for the care that we provide. So at this point in my career, having to participate in a work stoppage effort has been a very powerful thing. Our nurses were at a point where, you know, as Ms. Whalen just stated that nurses need to feel valued, they need to feel respected, but they also, and this is part of having a collaborative voice, they need to have their voice heard. And then our nurses have been very clear right from the beginning, right from March 29th, which was the first day of our negotiations, of what their needs were to take care of their patients safely, to give the quality care that they are so proud of giving and pride themselves in giving, and what we need to retain and recruit our nurses. And that's where, you know, when you talk about you seem to be miles apart when it comes to wages, this is really the core portion of this, is retaining and recruiting our nurses, keeping them here, and bringing in the brightest and the best to provide that quality of care that we pride ourselves in to our community.
So wouldn't a 14% pay increase go a large way towards doing that in addition to the other things that have already been agreed upon? I mentioned them earlier, but outpatient nurses getting the same as inpatient nurses starting in September, supervisory charge nurses no longer having direct patient assignments so they can really concentrate on running the floor. Per diem nurses having a more an improved pay structure and a 14% increase in salaries over 3 years.
Well, one would think so, but I checked just prior to coming over to the studio today. I just went into our website to see how many job openings there were so I could give you the exact number. And as of right now, there's 137 openings for nurses and LNAs. 137. So,
which is what, about 7%? I mean, the nurses union is about 1,800?
Correct. It's about 7%. But, you know, one of the things that I get concerned about when I hear all of these numbers floating around is the centering on a number and not looking at what really does that mean. So
wait a minute. Now, you both have said, you know, there's too much emphasis on numbers, but it seems like so much of where the breakdown is or the impasse is about a number.
It is. But can you put a number on, let's just use this, there's a lot of variables that also play into the picture.
Sure,
I'm not saying
sure.
The numbers don't, but there are also a lot of variables. So if you have a 6.4% vacancy rate on the inpatient side, is that number okay? And to what point does that number not become okay for the hospital? So there are other variables you mm-hmm. have to look at. Are your patient falls up? Are there wound infections up? Are your the pressure ulcers from not turning patients up?
Are they?
I don't have that specific data with me today.
Can you get it, or is that proprietary to the administration?
I think that's proprietary to the administration, although I do believe some of these markets are these markers need to be reported to the Department of CMS. So that would be something that would be available, I believe, for anyone to look at to see what the hospital's rates are. So some of that information is available. So those are other things that we have to look at as well. One of the things when you let's go back to your original question, is 14% enough? First of all, that 14% is a misnomer. Not everyone is getting 14% increase.
But not everybody would get a 23% increase either.
That is correct. What we're looking at, you take about 600 of those nurses of the 1,800, almost a third, it's actually 542, of those nurses that are at the top of their step. They have not seen a discernible increase in their salary for over six, probably 9 years. And when I say a discernible increase, the last contract, the increase that those nurses, our nurses with the most expertise, that are bringing a knowledge base that is unbelievable to the bedside every single day, that are training our new nurses, saw a total of 3.5% increase to their base salary over 3 years. That is what they saw. Now you say, well, gee, Lori, you know, 14% is going to be, that's a great significance. Again, those nurses that are at the top of their step are not going to see that 14%. What they would see is 7% over 3 years, because when you're at the top of your step, you're base salary does not go up.
You'd basically get a COLA, a cost of living increase, if there's one to be gotten.
Well, the way that our current structure is they would receive 2% of their gross salary from the previous year as a one-time bonus. That's what they would see.
Uh-huh.
So it's not your 403B, your retirement isn't going to be based upon that. Your overtime provisions are not going to be based upon that. Your base salary stays static. And that's one of the things. And part of that is recognizing those nurses, recognizing what they bring to the table. You know, and when I teach new nurses, when they come into the surgical intensive care unit and they mentor with me for a period of 23 weeks, one of the things we always teach our new nurses is that, yes, you have to respond to a crisis. You have to know what to do. You have to just be ready to jump in. But most importantly, and this crosses the continuum, a nurse has to be able to prevent that crisis from happening. You have to have that expertise. You have to have that knowledge to see what's coming and use those years of experience and then pass that knowledge base on to our newer nurses. And that's why we feel it's so important. Now, the other component of that is...
Can I interrupt you just to say, and I want you to be able to get to the points that you're making, but so then when Eileen Whalen says, you know, salary is part of it, numbers are part of it, but she says, I'm also hearing loud and clear that our nurses feel undervalued, they don't feel respected, they don't feel like they've been treated the way they should be, and my job now is to listen, to listen and to value them. What's your response to that?
I think... as part of the healing process, listening certainly is something that needs to be done. But our nurses have been speaking for quite some time. So it's unfortunate, in my opinion, that this is the point that they're starting to listen. We have been speaking loud and clear since we started negotiations what our nurses need. Kate Fitzpatrick, who came in 3 years ago, who's our chief nursing officer, has some great visions for nursing, and she still has. And one of that is to give the bedside nurse a voice. And she's developed different councils within the hospital for our nurses to become intimately involved in any process that a nurse is involved in the hospital. So this is an opportunity for nurses to get engaged and to be engaged in the daily operations. Through the collective bargaining unit, through our voice, our nurses are also speaking very loud and clear of what they need. They're saying that we need more nurses at the bedside. We need to have a competitive wage. So if you look at the 24%, and this is to go back to your question, we want to be competitive, not just within the state of Vermont or in upstate New York, but nationally. We are a level one trauma center. We are acknowledged nationally for some for initiatives that we have provided to our patients and our communities, and we want to continue to bring the best and the brightest to the state of Vermont. For God's sakes, our governor even is offering a $10,000 initiative if people will come and relocate to the state of Vermont. So what we're trying to do is be competitive also on a national level.
But on a national level, we're seeing nursing strikes, we're seeing contract negotiations, we're seeing it, I mean, in other parts of Vermont, Brattleboro Retreat dealing with nursing and staffing issues and picketing, though not a work stoppage. So, I mean, is the truth of the matter that maybe the whole industry or the whole system is not working well and is perhaps unsustainable?
That's a really good question, Jane. Unfortunately, I can only speak to our institution and not what's happening throughout the country. I, as you have been noticing, that just within the next week, I believe some of the Rhode Island nurses are going to be going on strike. We just had some of the Bay State nurses go on strike within a few months ago that just settled a contract in Massachusetts. So it is something that's happening. But I think what's happening is that our nurses are saying we've had enough. Any of our nurses that have been within, that are part of a collective bargaining unit, are saying, we've had enough. We're not being able to offer the patient care we can provide. We're not being able to do the work that we've been paid and we've been educated to do. These are the tools that we need, whether it be wages, whether it be ancillary help. That's why we're pushing for a $15 minimum wage for ancillary help.
So non-nursing staff.
Non-nursing staff.
Yep.
Absolutely. Because everyone needs to be able to afford to make and live in Chittenden County. And if you come in at $10 an hour or $12 an hour, that's not an affordable wage. So everything is tied in. So is 24% too much? No, not with what we bring to the table every day, not to be competitive nationally, and to keep nurses. I'll just use this quick anecdotal story for you. One of the nurses that's on the bargaining team works on a medical unit. He started 2 years ago on that unit with 10 other colleagues. Of those 10, only 4 are left, because after 2 years they've left, they can no longer afford to live in Chittenden County. It's not because they didn't love the work they do. It's not because they're not committed to our community. They can't afford it. And so when you have, when you see that, then you have to look and say, what's wrong? How do we keep them here? We want to keep them here. We want them to invest in our community. And that's where we are.
I want to ask you about the strike and statistics. And I know that this decision was overwhelmingly voted on. But I also know that you took it seriously, and so you must know some of the statistics. And I'll cite a 2010 study of 50 nursing strikes over two decades in New York State hospitals that found that in-hospital deaths rose by almost 20% and readmissions by 6.5% for patients who were treated during strikes. So do you have a sense of how your strike may have impacted patient care?
Only anecdotally, as to the best of my knowledge, and I worked the next day in the intensive care unit, there was nothing that was an aha moment that said, oh, there was this terrible thing that happened. And, you know, communication throughout the hospital for something like that would probably run rampant. So I don't have any concrete information that I could share with you at this point in time. I think that the hospital would have to be able to say, yes, we did have this happen. I personally have not heard of anything. I will say, though, that when nurses come in from outside agencies, whether it's a contingency service for during a strike or even traveling nurses that agree to work a 13-week contract, these are nurses that aren't committed to the community, that are a Band-Aid on a gaping wound, and that we need to look at stabilizing our own workforce.
Are you willing to go lower than 23-24%? Given that the hospital says they're not willing to get there?
You know, anything's negotiable. We're currently working with our bargaining committee right now. We're in strategic planning mode. And, you know, our goal is to have a fair and equitable contract. It's not to go out on strike again. We are committed to our hospital. We are committed to our patients. And we want this to be done as well.
That's Lori Onchman, president of the Vermont Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals. It's the union that represents the UVM Medical Center nurses. Thank you very much for your time today.
You're welcome.
And of course, VPR will continue to follow this story, including contract negotiations that are set to pick up again next week. So follow VPR News as the story continues to develop.